presentación de los resultados trimestrales de Telenor aquí en Barcelona. Good morning, everyone, and very welcome to the presentation of Telenor's fourth quarter results. Whether you are being present here in Barcelona or following us on the internet or on the telephone. My name is Scott Ingebrigtsen, and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. So I hope that everyone has the material that we have made available for you. That is our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to view here in a minute. In addition to being present here in Barcelona, we have a few options for you as usual. You may also watch the presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone capable of showing live video. If you are using the internet, you also have the opportunity to send in written questions during the transmission, and you will find instructions on all these options on our website. Now, after the presentation, there will be a general Q&A session, first here from the audience present, and then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, of course, the opportunity to do individual interviews afterwards. Now, let's have a look at our fourth quarter results in more detail. And to present the figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Vestli. We will also have brief presentations from the CEO of Telenor Pakistan, Mr. Tore Johnsen, and the CEO of Grameenphone, Mr. Erik Aas. First, I'll leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Scott, for this fantastic introduction of this country's language. Unfortunately, I think I will stick to doing this. I will not. So it's my pleasure to give a presentation of the 2006 and fourth quarter 2006 figures for Telenor from here from Barcelona on this occasion. 2006 has been a fantastic year for Telenor. Reported revenue growth for the group reached 37%, bringing the group revenues to record high 91.1 billion Norwegian crowns for the full year. Along with this growth, EBITDA margin rose from 35% to 36%, and operating cash flows significantly improved compared to 2005. But more importantly, we expect the underlying growth to continue into 2007. Our sources to growth in 2006 are of course most clearly visible in Asia and Central and Eastern Europe, with 31% and 27% respectively. But despite the declining revenue trend in fixed Norway, we record an overall revenue growth also in the Nordic countries of 3% at the group level. The revenue growth as reported is 30% in Q4. The customer growth was particularly strong this quarter, with around 10 million new subscribers in all our operations. Due to this very high activity, the margin is down in this quarter compared to fourth quarter in 2005. However, the growth demonstrates a significant improvement in the operational cash flow in this quarter, of about 2 billion Norwegian crowns. In my presentation now, I will concentrate on mobile and fixed in Norway, broadcast as well as Kyivstar. Since we have the opportunity, and as Scott said, being here in Barcelona, Erik Aas and Tore Johnsen will present from our high-growth markets in Asia, Pakistan and Bangladesh. In Mobile Norway, we have changed the formula on how to go to market with the ambition of reducing churn by actively migrating high ARPU customers and potential churn customers to improve price plans. In these efforts, we have introduced community pricing offers in order to establish higher degree of loyalty with the benefit of reducing the subsidy level, having a positive effect on the margin. As a result of this, we see a reduced average price per minute to 1.5 kroner per minute, while the market response to this is higher usage. Minutes of usage on average per customer is rising to an average of 205 minutes. The combination of higher usage and reduced average price per minute is that revenues are stable compared to Q4 05. However, the profitability improves, seeing the margin in the quarter at 40% compared to 37% in fourth quarter 2005. At the same time, we have added 12,000 customers. Coming to fixed Norway, the market trends are more or less the same as for previous quarters. The revenue decline is 5.5% for the quarter and 4.6% on average for the year. Market shares being stable through this quarter. We did, however, take on somewhat higher cost level related to the delivery and customer support activities, in particular as well as the broadband in fourth quarter compared to third quarter. The cost level of fixed Norway has been reduced by 130 million kroner in Q4. In our cost efficiency program for 2007, we maintain our target of reducing the cost level base by gross 1.5 billion Norwegian crowns compared to 2004. In broadcast, we record a strong revenue growth of 13%. The margin for fourth quarter is, however, disappointingly at 16%, whereas the underlying margin is somewhat higher due to the adjusted cost of content for the year after they renewed contract with C-More. This is a new phase in the Nordic broadcast market, now seeing increased competition, also including digital terrestrial TV, in particularly in Sweden. In this new landscape, we aim at taking the leading position on high-definition TV. More concretely, we have secured premium high-definition TV content, as well as working at maintaining the customer base. And this will be our efforts going forward. Leaving the Nordics, I shall move to the growth markets, and Ukraine in particular. Before I start on TSR results, I should give a few comments on the situation with the dispute of with Alpha Group. Through their subsidiary Storm, they have managed to get an injunction from a judge in Krasnoludsk City Court of Lugansk region in Ukraine. This injunction prohibits Kyivstar management from providing financial information to Kyivstar's international auditors and the company shareholders. As a result of this, Telenor's fourth quarter results at this stage relating to Kyivstar is based on estimated figures. We aim at invalidating this injunction as soon as possible. In Ukraine, we now see a SIM card penetration above 100%. We estimate real population and real penetration by population to be about 65%. The characteristics about dual SIMs is thus very much prevalent, And we believe that the share of dual SIMs has increased significantly during Christmas and New Year campaign this year. Kyivstar also participates in this run for new customers and has reached 21.5 million customers at year end. Traditionally, Christmas and New Year campaigns are creating high activities and making all players very busy in this period, in this market. Due to the increased competition, average price per minute is down 14% in Q4 06. This is somewhat higher than in Q4 05, but not as much as in Q4 04. At the same time, average minutes per user is increasing. As a consequence of this high market activity, the margin is down and revenues are flat compared to last quarter. However, the way we see it, and as we have seen earlier in Kyivstar, where through these activities we are building the position for future revenue growth. Then moving to Asia. Asia is our highest growth region. In Thailand, interconnection between the mobile operators is now in place, and the market normalizes from that aspect. In Malaysia, I congratulate Morten Lundahl and his team in Digi with a very good year and a well-managed prepaid registration process, which has been going on in second half 2006. I will now hand over to over the floor to Tore Johnsen, and afterwards Erik Wolf, who will present to you their insights about the Telenor in Pakistan and Grameenphone respectively. Our CFO will thereupon conclude Telenor's presentation today. So, Tore, the floor is yours.
What did you do?
By saying official, I'm using the regards to worldwide regulatory authorities, figures that I will come back to in my last slide. We have also had a very good revenue growth, really a high revenue growth that we have customer growth in this period, meaning that our ARPU has also been slightly increasing, and in actually sales is roughly $4.5 per customer. As you can see from this slide, it's more showing you details. And you can see the very strong the growth from third quarter to fourth quarter 2004. And you will also see from the EBITDA figures that we are very close to breaking even, something that we have said previously we will do early this year, and that's the reason we are still behind. Telenor is a quality operator in Pakistan. We have a very good network. We have been able to expand our network extremely fast. We have now the second largest network in the company in less than 2 years of operation. Still, the population coverage is pretty low, but high compared to most of our competitors, roughly 45%. But that has given us this huge customer increase that I mentioned. We have almost doubled really our number of sites during the year, and we have been really effective in rolling out the network, building the base for new customer growth. We have increased also our distribution network. That is extremely important. So we now have roughly 100,000 retail outlets in the country supporting our customer acquisition and follow-up. And to really make sure that our customers can benefit from our products and services, we are constantly innovating in the market, coming out with new services, and Smarter is one example for this, where you can transfer balance from one customer to another, again, as a result, resulting in increased usage on a customer per customer basis. I mentioned the figures given by the regulator. There is no defined method by the regulator how these figures shall be given. We are following the standard Telenor accounting and this. On this, and based upon that, and if all operators are using the same one, we believe really that our real market share is more than 17% in this market in less than 2 years operation. You can see the growth from 2004, where the two new licenses were auctioned out, has really spurred the competition, and we have been able to take our more than fair share, I would say, of this growth and future looks good for Telenor Pakistan in Pakistan. I will now hand over to Erik Aas, the CEO of Grameenphone. Thank you.
The political situation in Bangladesh. Currently, we have an interim government. The election that was scheduled for January has been postponed. We don't have a new date for election. And the country has been declared as a state of emergency. The next question then is, of course, does this affect industry in general and our industry? And our assessment is that the telecom industry is not so much affected by the political situation. We are still seeing good customer growth and good revenue growth. Grameenphone is enjoying a superior position in our market. We are also having a quality position. We cover 95% of the population in Bangladesh, and we have edge coverage in most of the network. We ended last year with approximately 17 million customers in the market in total, and we have estimated that this will grow into approximately 50 million within the next 3 years. Some of you might have seen other customer figures for the year 2006, and we believe that is because various operators are using different types of customer counting. We have reason to believe that the real customer figure for the whole market last year is approximately 17 million customers. And out of these 17 million, by the end of last year, we had 10.7 million customers, which gives us 63% market share. Now we have passed 11 million, and that's of course because we have a good growth also in the beginning of this year. Q4, we had 1.4 million new customers. We saw a revenue growth of 57% in local currency compared to Q4 of 2005. And we had a underlying EBITDA margin of 52. You will see from the accounts that we are booking 59% EBITDA, and that's because of a reversal of a previous provision. Now that we have finished the old taxation provisions, those who were involved in detail would know that that was a provision for GRLF, a previous taxation regime. That one is now over, but we are into a new taxation issue in Bangladesh, and that is related to a so-called SIM tax. This SIM tax was declared illegal by the court in August, and we are of course now excited to see what will be the outcome of this court case. Looking at the EBITDA and CapEx, you will now see that the trend is that we are moving towards a positive operational cash flow in Grameenphone. We are not hiding that the competition is quite tough in Bangladesh. The average price per minute in fourth quarter was down to 1.8 kroner. And we are seeing that some competitors are now running promotions down to a level of 2 taka per minute on a flat tariffing scheme. And if you take all the promotions that are involved in the tariffing scheme with friends and families and other things, you will see that the average price per minute is much lower than 2 taka. We, on our side, we are not going directly into a head-on competition on these tariffs. We, if you look at this advertisement, you will see that from the details that we are competitive, but we are not going into a price war. On the other hand, we are also utilizing our assets and we're having a good nighttime tariff. So you see that we are promoting a nighttime tariff, which is giving very good traffic in that time of the day. From the statistic on the right-hand side, you will see that although the prices are going down, we are at least able to increase and keep up the minutes of use. And then this is helping us keeping up the revenue growth. One additional detail, just explaining with the second bullet, is that as the penetration is increasing in the mass market, we are now seeing that the public call offerings, so the telephone booths, all these people that have been offering general call services to other people, that product and that service is now starting to decline slowly because people are enjoying their own mobile phones and they have family members with a mobile phone. So that's a natural development, and I would say it's actually a health indicator, a positive health indicator of the industry. One additional detail, you will see from this advertisement that Grameen Phone has now changed its logo. They're using the same logo as Telenor. We're still in the branding concept, done a lot of local adjustments, but we are using many of the visual elements from Telenor. We're still keeping also the name of the company, Grameen Phone. So with those words, I'm leaving the stage to the CFO of Telenor, Mr. Trond Løkke. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Then we're back to the group level. And I'm going to present to you good results from Telenor in the fourth quarter, as well as for 2006 as a whole. It's not been as good as the previous quarters, but some companies have continued their good progress, but some companies are slowing down a bit, as we said in the guidance in the third quarter. But first, there are some elements of change during the fourth quarter. Since last quarter, we have entered into a contract to sell our satellite communication service business, TSS. And as a result of that, we're dealing with TSS as a discontinued business. That means that relevant to comparison to previous quarter and previous years, we have taken out about 2.4 billion in revenue for the full year of 2006 and 484 million of EBITDA number for the full year of 2006. For the fourth quarter, we've taken out 623 million in revenue and 119 million in EBITDA as a result of the discontinued business. In addition to that, Fredrik mentioned that the Keystar numbers is based on estimates. I'm very confident of the accuracy of that estimate. And in addition to that, I must say that the injunction came into play just at the end of January, and it was a full reporting enterprise and systems up to that date. Comparing the delivery of the numbers, including the TSS numbers, the delivery of results in the fourth quarter and for the year as a whole, we have then delivered a revenue growth of 35.6% and an EBITDA margin of 35.5%. And on both those measures, we gave an outlook in the third quarter on around 35%. Then going to the actual numbers, the reporting numbers, the revenue of the fourth quarter is 24,500,000,000, an increase from last year of more than 5.6 billion Norwegian kroners, and that's about 30%. The EBITDA is 8.2 billion, and the EBIT number is almost 4 billion. Growth rate in those three lines is between 25 and 38%. You see that we have net financial income coming out of associates of 1.1 and net finance on income of 800 million Norwegian kroner. There are two in net financial income this quarter. It's two major issues. One is the Sonofon tax case that we actually got relief of 284 million in interest being paid as an income. In addition to that, we released an accrual of about 300 million, so that adds up to about 600 million Norwegian kroners. In addition to that, we have also had income on our total return swap in the underlying VimpelCom share that also is a substantial amount in this 1.9 billion of income. That leaves us with a profit before tax of 5.9 billion, but If you look on the net income line, we have a net tax income, and that is also due to the Sonofon tax case. We actually received 2.4 billion Norwegian kroner of payback in taxes that is taken into account in the fourth quarter. Looking at the numbers for the year, we have a revenue of 91 billion Norwegian kroner. That's an increase of 24,500,000,000 and a growth in reported numbers of 37% compared to what I just said relative to having TSS included with 35.5%. The EBITDA is a number of 32,687,000,000. That's an increase of close to 10 billion or 9.4 billion Norwegian kroner, or a growth of 40% in the EBITDA number. Going down to the net financials, in those numbers, it is a net income of 3.8 million, comprising of sales of approximately 3 billion in total, and net finance of 1 billion and associates of a plus 1 billion in total, leaving a profit before tax on 21,500,000. A net profit after tax as a result of both the sales, which is not taxable, as well as the Sonofon tax income, we have a tax rate of about 15%, and that leaves the net income at almost 16 billion Norwegian kroner. The earnings per share for 2006, but in reported figures, is 9.43. If we adjust that for non-recurring items, we have a normalized earnings per share of 5.84. Then some people in the financial market means that we don't have reinvestment needs on some of your amortization. And if we take those parts into consideration on the earnings per share, the earnings per share in 2006 is approximately 7 kroner per share. The revenue development in total, you see that the vast majority is the acquired elements of the Swedish Mobile and DTAC in Thailand, and the average growth is based on the organic growth, fairly much evenly spread as it has been during the whole year, every quarter. The other element of 5.3 growth is a bit higher than it was the last quarter or same quarter last year, and that is due to a lower element of elimination as a result of the acquisition of Vodafone Sweden. Looking at the EBITDA development, you see also the same trend there, except for Kyivstar having a good growth, as usual, from last year. But the one element here in the change in EBITDA on the left side of the slide is the other element. Almost half of that, is related to the structure of the discontinued business in TSS. But it also is a higher corporate charge in Telenor centrally. That is due to several reasons. Also allocation between quarters previously during the year. But on the running average, the corporate cost charge now is running on about 125 million Norwegian kroners a quarter. Net debt development, we see that we started the fourth quarter with net debt of 47 billion, and we're ending up at 43 billion, comprising of capex paid of 5.8 billion, and of course the EBITDA coming in at 8.2. Taxes is an income this quarter of 1.4, and then we have disposals, majorly Bravido, of 500 million. And then we have an other cost containing of net interest, other financials, the total return swap, reclassification of TSS and others, ending up with the total amount of 200 million in negative. Yesterday, the board proposed to present to the General Assembly a proposal of a dividend of 2.50 per share. Our dividend policy remains in place, and with a nominal, with about 40 to 60% of the normalized net income. The normalized net income is close to 10 billion Norwegian kroners this year, and that gives us a payout ratio of 43%. Going to the outlook in 2007. As Fredrik said earlier in the presentation, we've seen an underlying growth in 2006 of approximately 12%. We do see that that underlying trend is going to continue into 2007. But for reporting purposes, we've seen revenue growth of approximately 15 to 20%. The reason for that being two elements. One is the acquisition of Serbia and also the development in Thailand. Thailand has an element of, or it has an interconnect regime that is starting to come in place. So the variance in the revenue growth is very much dependent on how the interconnect regime develops in Thailand. DTAC's guidance themselves is an underlying growth of 10 to 50%, and in addition, up to 30% revenue increase as a result of the interconnect regime. That up to 30% has an effect of the group, the Telenor group, of approximately 0 to 4% in this guidance range of 15 to 20%. In addition to that, it has a margin effect relative to how much up in the scale it's going. So it has, in total, the interconnect effect on the margin in Telenor has almost up to 1 percentage point in the EBITDA margin. But relative to how we see the outlook of 2007, we see the EBITDA margin around the 35% level. In addition to that, we see that the growth will continue in the, organically in many of our operations. So we're still going to have a bit high CapEx to sales ratio, but we estimate the CapEx to sales ratio in 2007 to be around 20% level. In addition to that, the last point in the outlook in the report is, of course, the currency effect. And we are depending more on the currency effect during each quarter. So in addition to that, in addition to all the other elements, I would like you to study that text as well. And with that, I'm going to conclude the presentation. Thank you.
We're now ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Boksås back to the podium to answer the questions. And please also be so kind to introduce yourself before asking your questions. Just we have one here, please.
Hi, Steve Martin from Marite. I'll go to three questions at the moment, I don't know where they are. On the wireline business, can you talk a little bit more about the extra costs that you incurred in the fourth quarter to fix, I guess, some of your broadband network issues, whether those are temporary or permanent, you know, and you will see lower margins next year. I guess leading on from that, just sort of, are you sticking to the $3.5 billion of free cash flow in the wireline business? And if so, you know, do you have to cut CapEx a bit further to get there? A question on Kyivstar. Can you just give us a flavor of what you think the service revenue growth
407 could be. I mean, I know you haven't got any real financials at the moment. The SIM numbers are obviously, you know, not that trustworthy. The offers moving all over the place. Just give us an idea what you think the service revenue trends will be. And finally, just on network sharing, something we've heard quite a lot about in the last couple of days. Just talk about what your attitude towards network sharing is in some of your emerging markets assets, and whether you think that might bring down CapEx over the next 2 or 3 years compared with what you had been thinking over the last 12 months. Thanks.
Let me then begin with the first part of your question, if I quote you right. In fixed, and in the deployment and the build-up of the customer base of broadband customers, we have in third and fourth quarter experienced some extra cost in that delivery chain. We are of the belief that the cost build-up to serve the market the way that has been required in fourth quarter is more of a temporary situation. But then you can also argue that there will be other elements in the future giving other temporary effects. So we have to be in line with thinking of that. But it's our ambition to maintain very clearly the overall cost reduction of fixed line operations in Norway with 1.5 billion gross cost savings if we compare the cost base of 2004 and 2007. Then for your second question, and along with that, we maintain also the target of 3.5 billion cash flows coming from the operation short-term, mid-term. Then for Kyivstar, the figures given here, we are very confident, as Trond said, on the quality of the figures towards the end of the year. And the injunction from that point of view is more of a formal thing. But on the other side, we don't go into detailed descriptions on what kind of revenue growth each market can give. But as you can see, there are trends there from previous phases of this market. The exciting thing is, of course, that the number of players are higher this year than previously. And since penetration by SIM is as high as it is, the retention characteristics will become more and more applicable also in that marketplace. As for network sharing, is in our the way we are operating, have been operating around network sharing, has been more in line with sort of getting coverage in very rural areas where all or several operators see that it would be difficult to make a calculation on its own. And the network sharing, from our perspective, has not come into areas of higher population. There, network sharing is probably still somewhat into the future. So the effects of network sharing is more on the coverage side in rural areas than sort of overall. There is, of course, one network sharing model in Sweden that has been, which is very sort of robust, but that has again to do with the coverage conditions of the government at the point of raising these licenses, as well as the fact that if you should reach that coverage, to combine resources into two nationwide networks has been the model to go for in Sweden.
Just elaborate a little bit on what the extra costs and the broadband delivery supply chain were. And also, just on the CapEx, do you think you'll have to cut that back a bit further to keep that free cash flow guidance?
Yeah, the details of that is that the autumn has been sort of a very wet, fourth quarter in Norway this season. We had a very dry summer, and everyone was expecting sort of energy prices to go sky high. But what happened was that it was raining consecutively in all November and December, and that created sort of other challenges, raising the fault rate to a certain extent in that quarter.
Some rusty copper
there. Well, it's isolated, you know.
Personal
group,
please.
Hi, good morning, your advice. Could you give me some idea of the level of human penetration in the Ukraine? Clearly, with a number of multiple sims, sim penetration is very different to that. And secondly, I hear what you say about the increase in prevalence of retention costs, which obviously affect the margin downwards, but equally, there are a lot of fixed costs in this business, and normally with a higher revenue base, that obviously gives you some kind of margin uplift on the other side of that. Could you talk about which of those competing factors will dominate the margin in 07?
Sorry, the last part of the question was also related to...
To the margin, to what extent can you offset the pressure in the margin from increased sacks and retention costs with simply the scale effect of a larger revenue base as the revenue grows?
Which market do you open?
For Ukraine.
For Ukraine. Some of the elements of your question is of course a little bit into the glass ball here. But the crystal ball, that's the word, eh? Penetration by population we estimate to 65%. And that is our view. I mean, there might be other views out there. But that leaves also additional segments that still are out there for mobile telephony in general. And my comment about moving towards retention work is, of course, how can we gradually over time reduce churn by having sticky enough service offerings so that customers are sort of being activated on our network once and again and again. And I think this is, in a prepaid market, part of the game, basically, when competition and penetration are reaching these levels. And our abilities in this has been quite good so far to handle that kind of competitive environment. So it will, it will be a general comment on how we will produce our efforts to maintain and have our customers to reload with us.
Question back here, please. Sorry? You also have a question after this one?
Thank you. It's Andrew O'Neill from Bernstein. Just a few questions. Firstly, you mentioned that the underlying margin in broadcast was much better. Could you give us a sense for what the underlying margin level is there? And what we should think about as you roll out HDTV more extensively going forward. Secondly, in Bangladesh, there was a margin adjustment that related to prior quarters as well that fell in the fourth quarter. What's the right sort of base in 2006 on margins? And how might the different outcomes on tax influence that as we look forward? Those are the two. Thank you.
Hello?
Well, on the broadcast margin, the one-time effect is about 3% of the margin. So it's still a weak quarter as a result of the spending of the marketing costs in general, both in Finland and Sweden, without having the necessary pickup. But so the effect is about 3% margin of the one-time effect.
Then for Bangladesh, release of previous accruals here relates to status of the tax regime at the end of the year. So in that respect, the release of this, taking the reported margin down to the underlying margin, is as Erik explained. But then there will be and we have to expect discussions about other tax elements in our industry going forward. And we are, of course, prepared to work on new tax issues and existing tax issues. So it's a bit difficult to sort of be precise on that level. But on the margin, on the operating margin for the industry in and for Grameenphone, we target about 50%. For Grameen Phone, the way we have also had that target in 2006.
My name is Lana Matković from Fox News Corporation from the Serbia. What are your overall impressions so far of the performance of your most recent edition, Telenor, in Serbia?
It's a bit, as you said, it's a bit early to be very precise on that. But we are very, very satisfied the way Telenor has been received in Serbia. We believe we have revitalized the organization, giving it new life, having the ambition of rising the market share of Telenor in Serbia fairly quickly through 2007. Using the same, strength that Telenor has been able to show in other markets. Telenor in Serbia is free to borrow every kind of good effort that we can put into play in the Serbian marketplace.
Thank you.
Other question here, please.
Daniel Sokolov from the German Heise Publisher. I'd like to ask you a question of the colleague. You have seen it. It's a tremendous sort of explosion in revenue in Serbia from the third to the fourth quarter on this slide. Although the number of customers only has increased about 10%, how is that possible? And the second question is about your Austrian partly subsidiary one. You tried to sell it to France last year, that failed. In your documentation, you have a declining revenue, declining EBITDA. Finding a UTA margin. What is your strategy for one? Are you trying to sell it? Are you trying to get a majority? When do you think this will be solved? Thanks.
On the first part of the question, we bought Serbia, or the closing in Serbia was the end of August. So in the third quarter, it's only 1 month of revenue and income in that period. And we hadn't really started our distribution as well as our marketing tools, and thereby the margin were a bit higher. Coming to one, it's the usual answer. We don't comment on development of assets. We do have a general view that we are either seeking and control of a post or a sales post. And one is the 7%, we have a 17% ownership, and it's a fairly difficult shareholders agreement in that structure. So it's probably going to take a bit to resolve, but the positions haven't been stated whether or not we want to go in control or whether we want to sell.
Okay, any further questions from the audience here? Okay, we'll have first one here and then second here.
Chris Wagner, to your question. In terms of the QSR margin in Q4, to what extent was the margin falling a function of falling yields or simply that you added 3.8 million SIMs, which obviously you have costs associated with that growth?
The extreme growth in number of customers has, of course, an impact on the average figures, as we've seen at probably year end. 2004 in particular had even stronger effects, 2005 lesser effects, so 2006 placed itself somewhere in between. And when you get that high number of customers in December month alone, and in particular the last 14 days, it's an achievement, basically, to activate that high number of customers through such a period. So after such a period, the rule of the game will be to compete for the reloads. And that will be the characteristics of the competition in 2007.
Okay, question from someone here, please.
Just ask one question. Just on Vietnam, can you just give us an idea of the timeline on making a decision there if when you'll be looking at those assets? Thanks.
Yeah, there isn't a fixed timeline the way we see it, but the authorities in Vietnam is still expressing that the process will take place inviting international partners into their existing national operators. And we are following that situation very closely. We are present in Vietnam, and we have exchanges with the operators in Vietnam, and we hope that when that process becomes clear, we will for sure evaluate the possibility of participating in that, because we are clear on our ambition.
Okay, thank you. And before we open for the call, participants on the phone, we'll have time for one question from internet viewers, and that's from Sverre Stenseng from the Norwegian newspaper Aftenposten, who asks, the share price fall is 6%. At the same time, you say that Telenor's growth is strong. In what way have you disappointed the market?
Well, as I stated, I cannot say whether or not how to analyze the market is very difficult. What I can say is that our outlook on the third quarter was that we said that we're going to deliver results for the year, or revenue growth for the year, for around 35%, and we delivered 35.6%. And I said that we were going to deliver an EBITDA of around 35%, and we're delivering 35.5%. So the only thing I can comment on is that we actually are delivering on the outlook that we have said and updated during the year.
Thank you. Other internet questions will be dealt with individually after this session. I then call upon the call conference host to introduce questions from the ones participating on the phone.
The first is Mr. Rath in the company Dresdner Kleinwort, please.
Hello, good morning. Three questions. And the first one would be regarding Thailand. It is obviously a big swing factor in your group guidance, how the interconnect implementation is going to come through. I was wondering what your relative conviction level in the different scenarios is. That was the first question. The second one is, with regards to your margin guidance for the group, given the very large range of the revenue guidance, I was wondering whether you think at the higher range of the revenue growth, you would actually get lower margins or higher margins, i.e. whether the swing factor in the revenue actually comes with a high margin or a low margin. And the third question would be with regard to the Ukraine. You have referred to the history of Ukraine several times in your presentation, and I was wondering whether there's anything in the mechanics or the market situation in Q4-06 that's fundamentally different from the market situation in Q4-04 in particular, given that Q4-04 was followed by a relatively weak Q1-05 as that growth was still being digested, and I think the offers were still being extended into January of 2005. I was wondering, is there something similar going to happen into early 2007 following this fourth quarter in the Ukraine? Thank you.
Well, going to your first two questions on the interconnect effect of the revenue base, DTAC has entered into agreement with interconnect or interconnect agreement with the mobile operators. The interconnect agreement with the fixed operator is not clear yet, and it's a question whether or not when that's going to start happening during the year. And I can't, as a result of DTAC being listed on the Singapore Stock Exchange as well as in Thailand, I cannot speculate too much about the elements. But what I can say is the guidance that they gave was 0 to 30% on the interconnect revenue alone. And of course, when it comes to the margin effect on Telenor, as long as if you're in the lower end of the range, it's going to be higher EBITDA margin on the Telenor group. If you're in the high end on the interconnect revenue, of course, it's going to be lower because you're grossing up the revenue side as well as the cost side. So, and that's the effect. So I guess I cannot give you more guidance than from 0 to 4% effect on the interconnect on the revenue side and up to or short of 1% on the EBITDA margin.
Then to the third element of your question, is there any fundamental difference in the Ukrainian market this year compared to other year ends?
We don't see any specific fundamentals which are very much different, except for one fact, and that is the number of SIMs, of course, which have reached out to new segments. Still believing that there are approximately 65% penetration among population. And the competitive landscape is slightly different in 2006 compared to 2004 in particular. I think that is the only two thing I can pick upon your question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Nick Lyle in the company UBS, please.
Hi, there. It's Nick Lyle from UBS. Just a couple of quick questions. Again, back to the guidance, which I think Lily just mentioned. But on the middle of your range, about 17.5% revenue guidance, if you remove DTAC and Serbia, those contributions, it seems to be that you're guiding for underlying revenue growth of 11-12% just in line with this year. Given the slowdowns in Norway and Kyivstar, I mean, do you have to expect that a speed back up in revenue growth in Ukraine and Norway in order to reach the guidance? And the second thing was, in terms of Norwegian mobile, your revenue growth has slowed to zero now for the fourth quarter, from between 6-10%, and also your subs growth is quite a bit lower than Telia in the fourth quarter. So why do you decide to cut? Is it because of the effect of the crisis? What benefits do you expect to see?
When it comes to the guiding, as I said, as we said in the presentation, we have seen an underlying growth in 2006 of 12%, and we do not see any major changes going into of the fundamentals on a portfolio basis, on a group basis, in 2007. So when you're implying 11-12%, yes, it seems like that's going to fit in with the arguments. Going from there, whether we see that it need a step up or not, the only thing that we are guiding on is actually the group as a whole and not on individual countries.
As for your comment about Norway, the fact that the revenues are fairly flat, primarily because of the improvement in the price tag seen from a customer perspective, doesn't necessarily take away the ability to grow more volumes in the mobile in Norway going forward. The mix between fixed line and mobile is around 48% being originated in the mobile networks, and we believe this one is going to climb through into the 50s in 2007. So if we can contain that growth and build it, the revenue estimates for domestic mobility is as it was also for 2007.
Sorry, just to say that, if you expect a recovery, I've got 0% growth for the fourth quarter, not like an aberration, maybe I'm just not getting the information here, and the
well, I'm not saying that that is the exact case, but I'm just saying that there is a possibility to develop in that direction. And of course, it's our efforts that might take us there. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Next, Mr. Nick.
Hello. Hello. There's noise on the line here. Peter Griffiths from Ashiba in London. Two questions at this stage, please. Firstly,
thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry for the fact that the line seems to be a little bit cracky here, but I think I got your questions. After all, we're in Barcelona, where the full industry is representative. In Norway, even though the revenues for these two quarters are flat, I think we have a pretty successful development of the margin between 2005 and 2006, because we have spent the resources differently. This time we have concentrated somewhat more on the community pricing concept in order to create stickiness, rather than to create stickiness only through a subsidy on the new handset terminal. And going forward, I think you will see a mix of this. I think you will see both elements of community pricing building into an extending beyond sort of families and other communities. But I also think that there will be phases where handset subsidies will be part of the game in order to raise people and market curiosity on new services. Because there are new services, particularly internet-based, which are coming. And the way we see the terminals developing in this specific place in Barcelona, I mean, there are some fantastic new elements that you can see here. So I think there will be a bit of both. Then to the last question. There are contacts, yes, but there are also court cases, which are in a way coming out of the blue from different not so known areas. So I think the situation is a bit of the same. There are contacts, but there are also difficulties. And true to say, some of these difficulties, from my perspective, doesn't necessarily help the more constructive part of the game in order to try to reach a solution. But we are long-term in these countries, Ukraine in particular, Russia as well. We've been there for many, many years. We have contributed tremendously into the development of the mobile sector in these two countries. And there is no doubt that also authorities and others understand that we have a long-term ambition with our two operations in both Ukraine and Russia.
Thank you for that.
Next question.
Hi, good morning. Graham Rux from Merrill Lynch. Two questions, please. First, what are your plans to benefit from wireless number portability with the introduction here in the next quarter in Pakistan? And secondly, have your plans or timeline changed at all regarding potential IPO in Bangladesh? Thank you.
Number portability in Pakistan is something that has been discussed for a while and that we now ultimately will see. Normally, the market leader, having the postpaid customers, will oppose and try to delay that kind of element, whereas the others will want to stimulate for it. So in Pakistan, we have the motivation of getting more number portability, whereas in Bangladesh, Grameen Phone might look at it differently. But the ultimate effect of number portability, the way we have experienced it from other markets, is really that it has an impact sort of in the introduction phase, in the introductory phase. And then the market will pretty much normalize with that number portability function in place, after all. And what the name is, the number one rule of the game is that you still have to have the best service offering to keep your customers going forward. As for the IPO thoughts of Grameenphone, those kinds of discussions might be addressed. I will tend to believe that such a thought is something that we can prepare and develop, but it is also important to see that there is a new election and a new government in place to move in that direction, the way I see it. Next question, please.
Next from Mr. Rivas in Citigroup, please.
Good morning, James Rivers from Citigroup. I've just got one question. Have there been any changes in your thoughts on the uses of capital, especially in light of the fact your dividend payout is right at the bottom end of your range? Thanks very much.
Well, as a result of the Standard & Poor's rating of BBB+, the board having the attitude of being a long-term single-A company, that is part of the reason why we're lower than the average on 50% on the normalized dividend. And relating to the uses of capital, no, the attitude in Telenor has not changed from the presentation in the third quarter. We still have our dividend policy in place, even though, as you say, we're a bit lower than the mean on the 50%. But we do have a steady nominal growth as we see it. Coming to the share buyback progress, it's still on hold and probably will be for a period of time.
Now, time for me to start the four more questions. The next question,
please. Next question is from Mr. Jimenez, please.
Yes, hi, it's Juan Jimenez, Morgan Stanley. Just a couple of questions. On this Kyivstar situation with regards to your estimates about the numbers, how should we see that going forward? Because I understand that all the process started in January, so obviously you have a very good look about the fourth quarter. But from now onwards, how will the company be affected in terms of providing accurate estimates of what the underlying situation will be there? And just finally, on the guidance, it was a bit noisy the line, so I missed the one part of a previous question, but should you didn't have any resolution with regards to interconnection regime in Thailand, that means that you will be at the lower end of your revenue guidance, but your margin will be higher? Thank you very much.
When it comes to the Kyivstar estimates, the situation there is that it is an injunction relating to election of auditors. In this injunction, and before the hearing starts, we see that it is a limitation on how much reporting of financial information that we as shareholders can get. We, as always, we're going to contest this injunction and we're going to contest it in the hearing. But the element is that we expect it to go away, and as we have been with the Law 8 court cases as we had in Ukraine. So we believe that we're going to move forward, but it is an element of what I would call administrative hazard or hazard, more than anything else. It doesn't change basically the element of control over the company. When it comes to the interconnect, it was only the interconnect agreement with the fixed operators that has not been that is not in place yet. Relative to the interconnect agreements with the other mobile operators, they are in place, but it's not initiated yet. But will be, in our understanding, they will become affected during the first quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Morris, in the company BRSM, please.
Yes, Maurice Patrick from Bastion. Just two questions, both related. In terms of Pakistan and Bangladesh, you've given penetration targets for 2009. Can you talk a bit about where you see your market share going in those markets? And the second question is, at the capital markets day, you talked about operating a low-cost network as you went toward the $2 ARPU customer. Are you getting towards that figure? And what progress have you made since the capital markets day in terms of providing that kind of cost of network? Thank you.
In Pakistan, the way Mr. Fulianson described the market situation, we believe that with our network quality in place, reaching out to 45% of the population, still building coverage, we believe that we shall be able to move the market share upwards from the from the estimated market share that we have at 17% for the time being. We are visible in the Pakistani market. We are being received well. We are ambitious about building the market share.
and it was our intention to reaching for the number two place in that market within some few years of operation. And we believe we are on the way to that, to reaching that. In Bangladesh, we enjoy, of course, because of the 10-year appearance this year, basically, in the Bangladeshi market, a very, very strong position, and having market share above 60%. And this is a level which we want to compete for, to maintain going forward from here. What's the third element on your question?
Yeah, the last element was to do with the operation of a low-cost network to provide the $2 ARPU customers.
The $2, I think this is not for the milestone. This is a regular process to get there. And as I spoke about in my keynote speech yesterday, if this industry shall be able to connect the more than 3 billion people still not being part of this network community that the mobile industry offers, the industry has to move in that direction. And I think there will be a lot of initiatives taking us there, even though we're not there to pull as of yet. But it's a very ambitious goal for the Telenor companies to drive this growth into these new segments, that we also can establish local network structures, new services with low-cost and more varied service level around, and so on. And I think we have to all come back to you on more details on that when we have our capital markets this spring.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we've got two questions left. Next question, please.
Mr. Andrew Hogley in Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning, Andrew Hogley from Lehman. A couple of questions. First of all, on the Swedish market, could you share some of your thoughts about the potential for fixed-to-mobile substitution? It's something that you've spoken about in the past. You see that improving through 2007. And secondly, regarding some of the ownership of the international assets, you've addressed Bangladesh already, we've seen pressure regarding the Malaysian position and the Thai position over recent months as well. Could you comment on the situation there? Thank you.
We most certainly can. The Swedish market, the way we see it, is that the Swedish market has a bit more potential when it comes to fixed and mobile migration than, for example, Finland. Compared to Finland, Norway in particular, but also Denmark. So the statistics, in a way, show that cellular mobile in Sweden can address that migration. And if we are successful on building a perception around this operation, we shall be able to take at least our fair share of that transition, which we believe will take on in Sweden in the same way as we've seen in the other Nordic markets. As to the ownership structural issues, both Malaysia and you could also add Thailand with certain viewpoints on foreign ownership into operations in these countries. And it's our clear statement that we work within the directions and the local law in all these countries. But we also are ambitious in the sense that when we had entered into Malaysia some years ago with Digi, we had a clear long-term ambition, being able to drive also the industrial agenda, giving benefit to Digi, trying to utilize the scale, the economies of scale that Telenor can offer. And we are in the midst of a good dialogue with Malaysian authorities in that issue for the time being. And in Thailand, there are being said that there will be revised structures being offered with foreign direct investors in Thailand. And we will, of course, invite for any adjustments that might come there as well, even though we haven't seen that framework
for being clearly spelled out. It is also our ambition to bring DTAC home and list it directly on the stock exchange in Bangkok, which will make it more transparent for national investors to look at DTAC from that perspective.
Thank you. Last question, please.
From Mr. Jakob Lomstein in the company HSBC, please.
I've just got two pretty quick questions. First of all, you mentioned in Ukraine that the headline penetration was 104, but the underlying penetration only 65. Because of the issue of multiple SIMs per human. I was wondering if you could maybe give us something similar in terms of what you do with in Bangladesh. You're saying in Bangladesh you're seeing a migration from multi-user to privately owned subscriptions, which to me sounds like that there's more than one user per account. Is that correct? And if so, could you maybe give us a sort of indication of where you see the real penetration being in that market? And secondly, just get back to the issues in fixed line. Is it possible to actually quantify the costs relating to the higher network fault rate? Thank you.
The penetration figure in Ukraine is as we stated. There's an estimate from our side of from our point of view, as to the 65% penetration by population. There might, as I said, be other estimates on that. In Bangladesh, the comment that Eric made on this was that it's not, you could say, multiple customers behind such connections, but there are multiple usage, which means that there are sort of extended business models that has been established because there is only has only been one mobile phone in one specific area. And with the higher penetration and, of course, also more players offering services in the marketplace, the very fact that people are picking up their own mobile phone is, of course, happening in that market as in other markets. So, and for ARPU kind of considerations, of course, that will affect the ARPU going forward, being one of the factors bringing their average revenue per user down and bringing, but as you also can see, average usage up. So I think that is a normal event, basically, a normal development in any kind of market. And if I may be so free to sort of add the fact that also Grameenphone is very, very much able to bring new and very, very useful services into the Bangladeshi marketplace while with their Healthline service offering being initiated last autumn. And also getting the award here on this GSMA convention in Barcelona as the best social impact new service being offered from any mobile operator. We are very proud that Grameenphone has participated in that. I don't have an estimate for you on the cost side of fixed enforcement. I think we have to dig a bit deeper and discuss that through the IR department. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, and that concludes our Q&A session, and I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning here in Barcelona. Thank you.